back into the 8th chapter of Romans, back into these wonderful magnificences, and let's just begin reading without delay from verse 18, chapter 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That word there is apocalypse. It means the unveiling. And that those sons of God there are the mature, fullness, measure, stature, the perfect man. Those, praise the Lord, that grace has grown up fully in. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now that's wonderful, praise the Lord. And I'm praying we really realize what we just read here. You know, some people are, you hear expression, I'm just going to be satisfied to get in there by the skin of my teeth. I'm just going to be happy to tread the streets of gold, huh? I'm just looking for the pearly gates. What a shame. Do you realize that the meaning of the ages, the occupying of all things, is for one purpose? One purpose. This unveiling. This apocalypse. This is the good pleasure of his will. This is everything. This was the absolute joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. This is the presentation by the grace of God of us. You better get with it. This is it. Now, you can try to be legal and back off of that and say, well, that's just too much for me. Well, what a pity. Your father gave his son for you to have this. Completely. He gave his son completely for you to have this, to be part of this. We are called, we are appointed, we are elected, we are chosen, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are now glorified. You think you can believe it? Praise God! Don't let your unbelief keep you out of it, because that's the only thing that will. You can't blame it on anybody but you, but this is the unveiling. This is the apocalypse. This is the presentation of the mature, complete, perfect sons of God. And verse 19 tells us that it is an intense anticipation of everything. Everything that he's made. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. Matter of fact, you can't. But I thank the Lord I see it. And I believe it. And those are the things, praise the Lord, that I'm hoping that are real. And that are pleasing to God because it's faith. All things are ours, saints. God said it. I believe it's impossible for him to lie. He said all things are for our sakes. I believe it. It's impossible for him to lie. All for this apocalypse. All for the moment that he will make known to all. For that company, that wife, that bride, that I have loved thee. That's what it's coming to. It's about the Lamb's wife. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. She is the new Jerusalem. She has the glory of God. Her light. God help us to meditate. God help us to just allow to rest in it. Now, once again, aren't you thankful that you're not just looking for pearly gates? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, I love his life more abundantly. Amen? I love the abundant life of the Lord. I thank God for the faith that he's given us, that most holy, that most set apart. Those are the ones that, they saw, yea, the deep things of God. They fellowshipped with God. They knew that God face to face as a friend. They knew the voice of the Lord. They took his instruction. They set out, as for me and my house, we'll believe the Lord. Just the simplicity of faith. Always, if you ever wanted to find joy, it's the people that believe God. The people that were murmuring, they never trusted God. The people that wanted to continue to live in chaos and fear. And there wasn't a confidence in the Lord thy God, which drew them out of Egypt. Praise the Lord. Don't forget these things. Verse 20, what happens here is it gives us insight in the glory and the anticipation that he not only has put in us, but he's put it in all creation. It's magnificent. I mean, everything that he's made, the rocks are going to cry out. This is all part of this. This is such a time, and it's the time of believing. But see, brothers and sisters, as it says, and we've read here, that creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God and everything has purpose. Everything. And he made creation subject to vanity. So when he makes something subject to vanity, it's weak, it's frail. Amen. There came a curse upon this earth. We know that. When Satan was cast upon this earth, the earth became cursed. And the earth became subject to sin. It cursed that sin and oppressed everything. All things of this earth, as we just read, were designed by God to be frail so that they would be affected and that they could be and would be in creation deceived by Satan. But also with that frailty, God also instilled in his creation a knowledge of hope that creation will be delivered from this bondage. Is that incredible? I just think it's awesome. That's marvelous. What a God. He made it subject to vanity so it would go with it and receive. Receive the trickery, the curse, but yet also it instilled in that creation a hope. It's just so precious. And we're talking about like the groaning of trees. Yes, the groaning of animals. Sometimes, say what you want, I thank the Lord, I can see things in the spirit from time to time. I wondered if my dog sometimes was looking at me, not for food or a snack, or to get pet. But I wondered sometimes sitting there, and even the birds sometimes as they'll gaze, are they waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? What do they see when they see us? What does the Lord have them to see? There's a hope in them. Because he put it there. It's amazing. Let me tell you something. Everything that has breath is going to praise the Lord. Everything. There isn't going to be one thing that's going to be left out. But the beauty of that is she will be praised with him. She will receive that glory with him. They will be glorified together. There won't be any exemption of the glory that he will not share with her. He shares the throne. He shares the glory. He shares the praise. He shares the reigning. He shares the ruling. He shares it all. And at the moment he first saw her, even though he had always seen her, but that she recognized it. He didn't come to her with any carrots. He didn't come to her with, well, if you do this or that. He never said one of those things. He says, it's yours. You've got me. You've got me. Do you understand? I've seen you in love. I beheld you in love. Before the foundation of the world, that's how I saw you. Everything then came forth. It was created for you divinely, perfectly, exactly, specifically for this day, for this apocalypse. Now, they are anticipating, and I'm talking about creation, this manifestation. And it says here that they will be delivered. Look at this and the beauty of it. They will be delivered, in verse 21, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, the liberty. How powerful. Oh, the liberty. How glorious. They will be delivered in that glorious liberty. Won't it be something? Now, but yet here we go. As Paul says, we groan, don't we? We groan too. There's a chorus of groaning. I'm reading a lot about groaning. We're going to read a little bit more about groaning. But we groan. And the reason we groan is because we're in this body of corruption. Yeah. I know I'm now a son of God. I know when I see him, I'll be like him. I know that he is clothing me right now with all the riches of his glory. Because the Bible tells me so. Because the Bible tells me so. Because the Bible tells me so. Now, I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm seated together with him in the heavenlies right now. Amen. I know that he'll perform, accomplish, perfect. He'll do it all. And he will be faithful to the end. Amen. I thank the Lord in all of that assurance of believing that it does cause my body to say, or the new man in me, oh Lord, I want that incorruptible. Can it be today? Will it be today? I want to be like you. I want to love you with a body like unto your own. Now, let's read about this groaning. Go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know, and again, aren't you thankful? The Word of God tells you what you know. Don't think about what you know. Don't think about what you don't know. Listen to the Word of God of what you know. So you know this, sons of God. For we know if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. See, it's not to get out of here. It's to be there. You understand? Praise the Lord. There's a big difference. It's not to escape. It's to enter in. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's the reason because we want the complete perfection in our lives. I don't want to shortcut a thing, and he's not going to. But I want to be in harmony with that, that Lord, I want to take every breath to the very last breath that you will allow me to take for the fullness of the glory of God to be ready to be revealed in me for you. Amen. If so be that being clothed, verse 3, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. There it is again. Being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. So see, it's not to be naked or escape this. It's to be clothed with that. Once again. It's to enter in, not to just get out. It's what we're coming to. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us, now this is beautiful, the earnest of the Spirit. Yes, he's given us the earnest of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. That's love shed abroad. That's the most holy faith, that what we're reading here is more real to us than pews, than being in this building, than sucking this oxygen. This is more real. It is. Because I know all this is temporal. I know everything I see with my eyes is not going to be here. I know that the only thing that will ever endure is the Word of God. Period. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, therefore, we are always confident. Here again, what we know. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, praise God, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's where the Lord has us. Now turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read more about this. In verse 51, such a precious chapter is 1 Corinthians 15. It gives you express encouragement. Who is the first fruits of it all? It's Christ. After that, they which are his. But then it tells you that every man is going to be in his own order. It tells you that there is different glories that each body is going to receive. There's a reflected light of a moon, and then there's the very sun glory, praise God, of him. You get down to verse 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now we hear the last trump. So what we're speaking of here is the very last company. So this is when all the saints have been gathered up. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Please hear that. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He encourages us on every side. So we await with abounding. We await, even though groaning, there's a joy. There's a confidence, it tells us here. We know, we're confident, we're thankful, we're expecting. We have all of this encouragement. And why do we have this? And this is what this wonderful Romans 8 is all about. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn on over to Romans 15. Here is the abounding that we have in the Holy Ghost. And we'll come back to this here later tonight, I believe. But in verse 13, it tells us of chapter 15, verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the what? The power of the Holy Ghost." If we're not abounding in our lives, if there's not truly this beating in our hearts, no matter how this body's feeling, we're not abounding in the Spirit. We're not anticipating and in tune with this culmination of all the events, the manifestation of the sons of God. And I love that it says that we abound in hope by the Holy Ghost. And this whole section that we've just read here, it ends and it culminates, but hope, it's about hope, it's about hope. But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So I want to be full of the Holy Ghost, so I'm waiting with patience. Because when I'm not waiting with patience, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to have anxiety. I'm going to have a lot of things. When you wait with patience, you're in love. When you wait with patience, time flies. When you wait with patience, you're like Jacob, who waited 14 years and said it was like a few days. Praise God. Now, that's why we need to be saturated in this message. That's why, by the grace of God, we need to assemble yourselves the more. We need to hear this. And more, and more, and more. And then be encouraged in it more and more through one another. So here we are in this state of complete, and I will say it, illumination of sun glory. That's what we're in that state. We're not waiting for it. It happens now. Right now. This is the glory of the sun. This is what the Lord has given us because of the revelation and the understanding and the knowledge of his love. And the purpose of his love, and the power of his love, and the good pleasure of the will of his love for us to share everything together with him, to rule and reign with him forever, and the glory, praise God, that will be revealed in us for him. Praise the Lord. But Paul does emphasize here, as we go back to the groanings, just as sister prayed. It's not easy. It is not easy. But we need to understand that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. And by the grace of God, may the groanings be the groaning for our lover, not the groanings again to escape. He's already, with the temptation, made the way of escape. He already has. Encourage me in that, brethren. Continue to run. Continue to fight. I'm comforted. And you're comforted as we go on with the Lord. And that's the truth. I thank God. I know we go alone to the Lord. But I thank God as we go alone to the Lord. Oh, what a mighty host I march with. Now, this life is not comfortable for any of us, or for his creation, as we've just read, poor little birds. Us sons of God, we know to depart would be far better, but yet there's a love that keeps us patient and waiting for it and expecting. Praise his name. And here's why. And I love many ways it's stated in the Bible. But I like when the Lord might use one of the surprising characters of the Word of God to really encourage you in the Word of God. Because he needs to surprise you that you're chosen to marry him. So when he uses one like James, you should go, okay, I've got a chance too. Amen? But go on over to James. And I love it. Any of our brethren, they know it's only by the grace of God that's with them. Verse 7 and 8. This is why. Verse 7 and 8 of chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto what? The coming of the Lord. I commend you, saints. We're here tonight. This is how we abide patient. That is exactly how. Behold, the husbandman. See, here's the greatest example. Our lover. He waits for his precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Oh, he's got his early. And this latter's coming forth. Praise his name. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. And again, why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, I've said some time ago, but what's time to God? And what is time to love? Amen. But a few days. And this is where the Lord, by the grace of God, continued to touch us, that we do run with patience, that we do run with joy. And a joy unspeakable, which is full of glory. Hallelujah. This is what this is. And I thank God for it. He gives me joy to know what he's made me for him. I think, oh Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know I'm your glory. I know this is your choice. I know in this earthen vessel, praise the Lord, it's going to fulfill the greatest good pleasure, the ecstasy of everything you've been waiting for. Because you've told me. The Bible tells me so. Praise his name. Now, that's what Romans 8:23 is. And we've been reading a lot about it, so let's go back there. There's something that touches my heart deeply in this. And it says, and not only they, again, speaking of creation, but ourselves also, now look at this, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. I love that. The first fruits of the Spirit. Now, I know that there's a lot of layers and sweet things to be encouraged of, but you know, the first fruit, we mentioned it earlier, Christ is the first fruit of all of us. You read that in 1 Corinthians, what is that? 23. But I love this emphasis because after Christ, the first fruits, it talks about every man in his own order. I love that. Now, we know that every man in his own order, thanks be to God, is again by his Spirit. I thank the Lord that the raising of every child of God, you know how it said the last trumpet and all of that? Well, who does all the raising? It's the power of his might. So that Spirit, let me tell you something, is going to raise it all. The power of his resurrection truly is exactly that for every child of God. That ascension into heaven of every company is coming one way, by the Holy Ghost. And that's the truth. And I thank the Lord, as it's encouraging here as well, is that it says that there is the first fruit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves for the adoption to which the redemption of our body. And I think we need to really take this with all of what's been said. Who's he speaking here to? Babies? He's speaking to the mature sons of God. This is speaking of the manifestation of those that will be to the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. This is talking about the perfect man, the ones that are complete, praise God. that have grown to the fullness, praise the Lord, that he will present to himself as his wife. Now, brothers and sisters, I thank God that the first fruits of the harvest are coming. The barley harvest, I think of that so sweetly as it touches my heart. The barley harvest was the first harvest, the very first. And that's why Ruth, when you find her, when she comes back, she is put in the field of the barley harvest. Not in the corn, not in the wheat, not with the grapes. Because she's going to be the wife of the Redeemer. She cannot be found there and be the first fruits. She cannot be. It has to be the first rapture. And only by the Spirit, only by that power. And I think about, you think about where we've come and so fast. In Romans 8. And all by the Spirit. All by the understanding of the divine grace of God. How immense it is. How powerful it is. How perfect it is. The purpose of it. The pleasure of it. Oh, what it's going to raise to him. Oh, what it's going to lift to him. Oh, what it's bringing to him now. Oh, what that wonderful Holy Ghost overcomes in her right now. Amen. All by the power of his resurrection. All by the power of his resurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, we groan for this moment. We groan for this moment. Yes, for us, but for him. Oh, to crown him. Her glory crowns him. Again, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He will not take his throne until he has his glory. He cannot. He cannot rule and reign until he has his partner. She completes him. What was given to Paul fulfills the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the grace that has been built in the masterpiece to the measure and stature and fullness of him, the perfect man, this is the glory that will be presented to him. This is the glory that will be made known to all. This is my glory. And they will bow down before her because she shares his glory with him. Praise the Lord. Now, so here we have verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by grace, excuse me, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Wow, let that carry you all the way through. How many times I said, oh Lord, but I'm not seeing it. And I'm talking about standing in front of the mirror and saying, oh, Lord, I'm not seeing it. Some other way it's interpreted. How could I ever be in that company? Thank God for what mine eyes do not see. Thank God for this so beyond that it can only be given by hope. Amen. Now, so even though, praise God, we know that it's done and it's finished, that he's assured us, we know the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes, we do. But yet that body that's like unto his own, it is not yet. Isn't that something? I love that. We are still in this weakened flesh. And I was grateful to God, I mentioned it Sunday, and here it is, us caterpillars. But the butterfly's all there. And it was so precious to me, a little sweetheart at the end of the service, and I just said that, I was walking up the aisle, and hear what she says, she's got to give me a sticker, and put it on my coat. And what was it? A butterfly. And I said, Lord, you're just too much. Just too much. But see, brothers and sisters, this is why we know we're the butterfly, because we got 2 Corinthians 4 going over there. We got so much. Oh, we have it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. I think you've heard that a few times in here, haven't you? Don't forget it. And here's why. Here's why it's all for your sake. That the abundant grace, the superabounding grace, the hypersuio grace of God, the overflowing infinite grace of God, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Do you see what they're going to praise of the grace of God in the masterpiece? This is speaking of all of this groaning. This is what it's all waiting for. It's going to all come forth to praise the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise the Lord for our light affliction. And wow, think of who's saying this. The Apostle Paul. For as but for a moment worketh for us a far beyond, it can't even be comprehended, more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And here's what we're doing, and this is why we know those that do. While we look not at the things which are seen, quit, stop, don't. But what are we looking at? At the things which are not seen. We're looking at the finish. We're looking what we're going to step into. We're looking, praise God, at the glory. And everything else that's seen, that's the day-to-day, the moment, he's taking care of that. Matter of fact, he took care of that a long time ago because he already did it. He ordered it. We're just walking through the manifestation of it. For the final manifestation of the sons of God. So this is what we're looking at, the things that aren't seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Never to be taken away. So it really does not yet appear, does it? But we know. Once again, we know. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we can't see it. Oh, no one can with the natural eye or the feelings of the flesh or emotional excitement. The only way we know, the only way we see this is faith. That we shall be like him. Amen. Now, and that's a promise from 1 John 3:2. So, brothers and sisters, when we do not see it or feel it, but yet have the hope for it, it magnifies one thing, the hope we have in Christ. Because there can't be anything else. When you can't see it and you believe it, it's Jesus. When you can't see it, it's completely against you, and it looks like it's over, but yet you believe, it's Jesus. The hope of the Holy Ghost. The hope of the Holy Ghost is the purpose of this entire chapter. And it all started out, there is therefore now no condemnation. Keep stepping on, saints. Keep stepping on in grace. He set you in it. It's perfect. Perfect. And it's going to be that liberty. It's going to be the liberty of those mature sons of God. And that's the greatest liberty there is, because they live it now. That's going to free all creation. That's what they're hoping for. That's what they're waiting for the manifestation of. Everything is going to praise the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Everything. Everything. Now, let's just close this up tonight in Hebrews 6. Such encouragement, once again, from our precious brother Paul. Hebrews 6, verse 9. And I love, not only does it tell you what you know, it tells you what you are. You going to listen to God? Amen. Now, if God tells you what you are, are you going to listen to God? Okay, well, listen to God. About time. Yaunai shanai. Oh, my. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. 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 Let's go ahead and stand, be dismissed.